Well, I got to say, I always love talking to this bloke because for one reason or another, I have a fascination with true crime stories. And there's one bloke that tells these stories better than most. It's Adam Shand, our mate, and he joins us again now. G'day, Adam.
G'day, Steve. How are you going, mate?
Very well, mate. Look, I'm always up for a new podcast from you, but you're taking over the world now because as we speak, you've got a new television show airing on Channel 9 as well.
Well, mate, it's your fault because you keep giving me such a great run on your show, and I'm really grateful for that. And things move on from one thing to the other. But a couple of things. We've got our new podcast, Jailhouse Lawyer, which I've been working on in a way for 7 years. This bloke in Barwon Jail, the hardest prison in Victoria, was writing to me through an intermediary telling me things. He wasn't lagging people. He was talking about what's happening in jail. He was talking about people who were wrongly accused, who wanted to get a fresh hearing in court. You know, for 7 years, we had this coded dialogue, and he's out of jail now. So he was in there for a crime he didn't commit, which cops actually lumbered him with, his drug trafficking charge. Some of the cops involved actually went to jail themselves.
Okay.
He hasn't got a pardon yet. Anyway, he's out and telling us what's going on inside our toughest jail. And this is the jail that housed Tony Mockbell, Carl Williams, and all the gangland war survivors. And it is just such an eye, even for me, after 20 years of doing this sort of stuff, I mean, to understand the culture inside the jail, remarkable, really good. And I'm just pumping it hard here, mate, but it's a great podcast.
Mate, I look forward to listening to it. Tell us, just in general, does the culture in the jail kind of mirror what the culture of these people is outside?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, there's that sort of, they're lawless, but there are still codes amongst them. You know, I'll give you a practical example. When Tony Mockbell got stabbed last week, there was like word ran around, you retaliate, it's going to be ugly because we don't want to be locked down. Because when these stabbings occur, everyone gets locked down. They can't talk to their kids, their wives, you know, and they rely on these outside influences to get through. So there was an edict that went around the jail, no one is to retaliate or we'll all get you. Mm. We're amazing. And there wasn't any retaliation and they didn't lock the jail down that day, which was remarkable. So that's exciting, you know, that there's a capacity for guys to not, you know, have the law of the jungle operating constantly because there is some common sense behind it.
Yeah, it's a fascinating world. And as we were saying off air before we came on air tonight, there has been this bit of a shift in the way we seem to look at these things. There was a period there where I felt like we were glorifying criminals. Well, we've really turned that around now, and we're now looking at it more from the victim's perspective, aren't we?
Well, I think so, and the audience is really voting with its feet on that. You know, they want to go, they want procedural crime, for instance. I mean, we've seen the Teacher's Pet podcast, which is a brilliant one, by a good friend of mine, Hedley Thomas, and he's taken us inside that investigation, shown us the steps, and people have become completely engrossed and immersed. They don't need hokey reconstructions or you know, the sort of sensationalism about our TAF and how this, that, and the other. What they want to hear about is how the family feel, what's going on, how can we get involved. And I think that's what I've loved about this recent true crime boom, if you like, is that the public's realizing, hey, we can get involved. We can give these small pieces of information. I mean, our understate, Lucille Butterworth, podcast in Tasmania, we've done 6 episodes now, and thank you for your support of that one as well. And what we've seen there are people coming forward. And they, you know, more confessions, more pressure on the police. And our show tonight on Channel 9, perfect segue, Australian Crime Stories, actually features the Lucille Butterworth story. And that's going to go national for the first time in terms of like a high penetration. I mean, podcasts are great, but they're still growing in their penetration.
Yeah.
TV is the old established media. So what we're hoping is podcast leads to TV leads to answer. You know, someone goes, you know what, I've been sitting on this all this time. I've seen the family up close. Their sorrow, their misery at not getting justice, you know, and to recap the story to your listeners, you know, she was a 20-year-old woman who tried to get a bus from Hobart to New Norfolk, about 25 k's away, never gets there. A suspect who should have been spoken to kills somebody else 7 years later and confesses to Lucille's murder, but the cops don't take him seriously. We're still trying to get them to take it seriously all these years later. There's a mountain of evidence. So what we're looking for now is just somebody in Tasmania who'll say, yep, I saw his car that night. I hadn't said it before because, you know, my parents were told me not to or some other thing. I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing at the time, but, you know, I now realise it's so important. So people power is extraordinarily important in these cases.
Adam, the thing that's always fascinated me about what people like you do and guys like Sylvester and Rule and those guys and is that there's obviously parallels between journalism, investigative journalism, and detective work, but the amount of effort that you guys have got to put into these stories to dig down almost as far as the police investigating these crimes would have to, is a mate. Where do you pick up the skills to do that?
Well, in our case, it's persistence, and often we're working on the work of other police, you know. And I think, I mean, I always draw the distinction, you know, between us and police, because they get paid a lot less, and people shoot at them regularly. Yeah. So I don't want to be on that side of the fence by any means, but you know what we do is somewhat similar. It's talking to people, and I think the best policemen go out there with an open mind and they speak to everybody, and that's what we do. You know, we just go, and we have the luxury of time. That's something that's been great about Podcast One is that the boss says, just go and get me a story. I don't care when you come back, just bring me a story. So that's old school journalism for mine. And that's what we've lost in this country to a certain extent with the demise of newspapers generally and television in long form. I think it falls to podcasts and radio as well, by the way. I think it's a very powerful medium for that, very immediate. So I think it's a really fantastic opportunity for me and this old journo to get a chance to do this stuff. It's fantastic.
So where do you start with one of these stories? Because, I mean, the underbelly stuff was pretty obvious. I mean, that was very, you know, the gangland murders in Melbourne were very much in the public eye, and it was an obvious story to tell. But Lucille Butterworth probably isn't that obvious to most people.
No, it's not. It's a story that's happened in Tasmania. It hasn't got the publicity that it should have. So, I mean, I just went back to the file. I mean, I was able to get hold of a bunch of files, which were very important. I was able to get hold of, you know, by the police interview with the main suspect, and then you're looking here, thinking, heavens above, why didn't they prosecute this bloke? So, in that case, we've got some great work being done by detectives that didn't get to fruition, and so it goes back on the shelf. No current investigation. And our job is not so much to solve it, and we can, it'd be great if we could, but it's more about motivating police to say the public still care about this. That's what happened with Teacher's Pet. That case was there for decades. Mm. We knew Lynn Dawson was probably murdered. Two coroner's inquiries found that, but nothing happened. So the public pressure is saying, well, what if it was your daughter? What if it was your son? Would you want to leave it like this? I think that toll, I don't think there's any remarkable new evidence in that podcast, frankly. It's a great podcast, but I don't think it solves it. And so I think it is that combination of public pressure and finally the police and the prosecutors saying, well, we may not get another chance. People are getting older. And I think this is a bit of a proxy for justice generally. You know, do we go after the easy ones, you know? One of the features of modern investigation is the cold case unit. We hear it all, it's a very sexy title and it's great, but they tend to take easy cases, ones that get good publicity, bring a lot of good stuff for the force, but they don't necessarily, I mean, Lucille Butterworth was rejected by the cold case unit, which I find remarkable.
Okay.
You know? So, and there are a lot of cases that fall in this category. I've been talking to regional stations across Australia the last couple of days, and I say to everybody, have you got a story in your local area? Someone who disappeared. Someone who was murdered or whatever, and it's never been resolved. And there are cases like that all over the country, you know, that are just waiting for that piece of information that someone in a family has and should bring it forward. So if anyone's listening, don't wait. Give us a call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got a good mate who's he's a general duty sergeant in the New South Wales Police now, but worked previously in the cold case division. And some of the stories he tells are heartbreaking. And, you know, I think you bringing these things to light is absolutely fantastic. Adam, so the podcast is called Jailhouse Lawyer. You can find that on podcast1.com.au now. And Aussie Crime Stories runs for the next 8 weeks on Channel 9.
It does. 8:30 tonight, Lucille Butterworth kicks off. So, again, thanks for your support. And I'd love to come back during the next 8 weeks if there's anything else you want to talk about. More than happy, Steve.
All right, mate. Always good to talk to you. Adam Shan, good on you.